Acts chapter number 3. Thank you for being here tonight. Now this morning we looked at the first half of the chapter, Acts chapter 3. And tonight we are looking at the second half. Acts chapter 3, verses 11 to the end of the chapter. Acts chapter number 3, this morning we looked at the power of Christ's name, and tonight we are looking at the preaching of Christ's name. We see Peter stand up after this wonderful and amazing miracle and begin to preach to those beholding who Christ is and the power of his name. Acts chapter 3. Look with me and follow along from verses 11 to the end of the chapter. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled." Verse 19. "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you, of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass, that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all those prophets from Samuel, and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for the precious truths that lie within your word. Lord, as we look to you and to your Holy Spirit to uncover, to reveal, to, Lord, teach us and apply your word to our lives, Lord, help us, we pray, to be attentive. Lord, help us to seek your face this evening. Help us, Lord, to preach Jesus Christ as he truly is. Father, help us to believe that as we declare the gospel, that the power of your word will change the hearts of men forever as they believe. Lord, we thank you for this evening. Lord, help us and bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Well, this morning we looked at the power of Christ's name. And you remember how Peter and John went to the gate, beautiful at the temple, and there was a lame man, a poor beggar. And we learned how this poor beggar is a picture of every lost sinner in need of a Savior. And as these faithful witnesses went out into the temple, they saw this one man in need, didn't they? And we were encouraged to see that one that God would lead us to. And we were not only encouraged to see the one, but to see the greatest need is the need of their soul, and to tell that one who the Lord Jesus Christ truly is. Well, when this beggar looked up, believed in the name of the Lord Jesus, suddenly a miracle was performed. And before everyone around him, before everyone in the temple, this miracle was displayed, and God suddenly got the attention of the people around them. You see, the healed beggar was the proof that the Lord Jesus Christ is alive. Now think about it with me. If someone died, well, their name would no longer have any power. It would no longer have any authority. It may become a name in history that we think about, that we learn of, but that person's name has no authority, has no power to change lives. Why? Because that man is a dead man. But you see, the fact that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ resulted in this amazing miracle, that meant only one thing. That his name is still alive because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And everyone that puts their faith in Jesus Christ the Savior will experience his offer of eternal life beyond the grave. Immediately, the Bible says, this miracle drew crowds around Peter, John and the lame man. And they were filled, the Bible says in verse 11 of chapter 3, with wonder and amazement. They couldn't believe what they had seen. And the miracle was very specific. Remember, God did this miracle for a reason. A very specific reason for a very specific time. Because remember, the gospel was first going out to which group of people? The Jews. Is that right? Amen. The Jews. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek, the Gentiles. And where did the Jews gather to worship? At the temple. Now, the Bible tells us that these Jews knew who the lame man was. Why? Because they saw him every day. There he was at the gate. Can you get the picture tonight? This is why this miracle took place. It was for the glory of God. It was to show them that Jesus Christ is risen and has the power to do the miraculous. Peter quickly stands up in verse 12, because later in the book of Acts we see it happened so often, didn't it? A miracle took place, and whether they were Greeks, whether they were Jews, many times they flocked to the ones who performed it and said, "How did this happen?" And many times it happened that they started to worship like Paul and Barnabas. And just like Paul and Barnabas, Peter and John had to say, hang on a second, verse 12, notice what they say, what they said. And when Peter saw, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or own holiness we had made this man to walk?" You see, quickly, Peter is careful to tell the multitudes that it wasn't our power and it wasn't our holiness that caused this man to walk. It was the power of the risen Savior. And that is the one whose name has the power to heal and the power to save. And this is the one that they indeed have crucified. This evening we are going to look at Peter's preaching, and the message is entitled, "The Preaching of Christ's Name." The preaching of Christ's name. Well, this morning we saw Christ the healer. And tonight we're going to see in the preceding chapters that Christ is the Son of God and that Christ is indeed the Savior. And Peter goes on to preach Jesus Christ and the power of his name. And let me encourage you, church family, this is biblical preaching. This is what preaching is all about. Preaching is about the Lord Jesus Christ. This isn't some sort of self-help message in order to emotionally boost people up with a little bit of Jesus tagged at the end and an invitation to say, "Ask Jesus into your heart. Just come as you are and leave as you are and take Jesus with you and ask him into your heart and he'll take away all your problems." This is not the kind of preaching we find from Peter. This is the kind of preaching we find from many apostate churches today that preach self-help messages that is focused on self and self-esteem and self-pride. This message is filled with none of that, but it is filled with everything about the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice with me in Acts chapter number 3, We've seen Jesus Christ the healer. Notice with me, Jesus Christ the Son of God. Verse number 13 is where we pick up. Peter says to these ones listening, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus. Now remember, Peter was preaching to a Jewish crowd, wasn't he? Now don't forget that. This is the basis for this message. And remember, the father of the faith of the nation of Israel was whom? Abraham. Remember, God called Abraham. And he said, I'm going to choose you, Abraham, to start a new people that would honor me and represent me. Now, Abraham was the father of?
Many nations.
That's right. But Isaac, more specifically. His son Isaac. And Isaac was the father of Jacob. And through these men, the nation of Israel was born. Now, these were the most revered men in the Jewish faith. Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. These were the ones that were honored and glorified. But notice he mentions God's son, Jesus. You see, Jesus was not the son of a carpenter named Joseph. Joseph was his earthly father slash guardian. But you see, the Lord Jesus Christ was not just a man. No, he was God come down in the flesh, born of a virgin. God manifest in the flesh. And when Peter declared Jesus Christ, he declared him to be none other than the Son of God. Notice John chapter 8, verses 56 to 58. We'll be looking at a few verses tonight. John chapter number 8. Notice what the Lord Jesus said about his parentage and his descendants. John chapter 8, verses 56 to 58. The Lord Jesus said, your father, Abraham, rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? They thought that was ridiculous. Then the Lord profoundly states, verse 58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Present tense. In contrast to the past tense, before Abraham was, I am. What does that mean? That the Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah. His going forths have been from old, from everlasting to everlasting. He is eternal God, the Messiah, come to the world to pay for the sins of the world. And it is because of this claim that Christ is God, that he made himself equal with God. That is the reason why they crucified him. That is the reason why they nailed him to the cross. But realize here in Acts chapter 3, as we turn back, suddenly these Jews were faced with a great dilemma, weren't they? That the one that they rejected, the one that they hated, the one that they did not believe whom he said he was, is the one that they crucified. And in his name, this great miracle just now took place. Imagine what they were feeling in their hearts. Imagine how confrontational this message must have been by Peter. Let me say this evening. You know, witnessing is always confrontational. Witnessing is always confrontational. What are we doing when we share the gospel? We are confronting the issue of sin. We are confronting the fact that the reality that we are all sinners. And Peter very clearly deals and confronts with the sinfulness of man. It is in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that this one has just risen up and walked. That means Christ is whom he says he is. That means his name has the power to heal, to save, and to do the impossible. That means that these Jews right there and then understood what Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3:16. The Bible says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Doesn't get any clearer than that, my brethren. God was manifest in the flesh. The word manifest means to appear. It means to be seen. The Son of God doesn't mean that God had a child. It means that Jesus Christ is equal to God. The same essence. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One in three persons. God manifest in the flesh. And this is the one whom God has called us to declare to the world, the Son of God. As we witnessed, we need to declare Him to be the Son of God, God in the flesh, God come down from heaven to pay for the sins of the world. And notice, as Peter preached, he confronted them with this message. This was a confrontational message, if there ever was. Notice verse 13. Halfway through the verse, Peter says, "Whom ye delivered up." Now, no doubt they were feeling guilty already. But Peter goes even further. He says, "Whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go." Brethren, the gospel will be confrontational. People may be offended. We don't go out to offend people, but understand the gospel itself confronts the sinfulness of mankind and provides the only remedy for mankind. And we need to be prepared, like Peter of old, to be filled with the Spirit as we witness. Because yes, people will be offended. Don't be surprised if someone tells you to leave their property. Don't be surprised if someone says something nasty to you. Don't be surprised if some old men get a little bit grouchy, ladies, for a couple of weeks ago. Some old men get a little bit grouchy because they're nearing the point of death, and for so many years they've hardened their heart against the Lord Jesus. Now, the gospel has the power to save, but understand it will be confrontational. But we must declare the truth. We must declare the truth because there were thousands upon thousands of people at the temple. And as we'll see at the end, there were thousands who were saved. We must declare Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, as we continue on, Peter used some titles of the Lord Jesus to explain to this crowd who he really is, to make the point. You see, Peter's like a lawyer in a courtroom. And he has the guilty party right in front of him who crucified Christ, and now he's making his case for Christ. He's making his case to tell us who Jesus Christ is. Well, we've seen him as the Son of God. Notice he describes as the Holy One in verse 14. "But ye denied the," what are the next words? "The Holy One." The Holy One. Notice with me Isaiah chapter 47. Look with me at an Old Testament passage from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 47. The Holy One. Isaiah 47 and verse number 4. Now remember, this is before Christ came into the world. Isaiah chapter 47 and verse 4. Let's read this verse together onto 1. 2. "As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel." Peter declared Jesus Christ as the Holy One. Isaiah declared that the Lord God is the Holy One. Friend, there can only be one God, and there can only be one Holy One. So then, who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He is the Lord. He is God. That's why he received worship during his earthly ministry. Every time people fell at the feet of Christ and worshipped him, he didn't say like Peter and John, "Hey, this wasn't by my holiness. This wasn't by my power." No, he received everyone that worshipped him. Why? Because he is worthy of worship. He is God manifest in the flesh. In fact, even the fallen demonic spirits confessed who Christ was. Do you remember in the book of Mark? You don't need to turn there. Let me quote it. Mark chapter 1 verse 24. The demon that Jesus just confronted said this: "Let us alone. What are we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." Brethren, even the devils know who he is. His word has declared who he is. So let's proclaim him to the world as the Holy One of God, because of his holy blood, and only because his sinless blood is perfect and holy, that your sins and mine could be paid for on the cross. Never forget that. He is sinless. As the sinless Son of God, he bore our iniquities. The Bible tells us very clearly it was the Holy One that shed his holy blood for our sins. on the cross. Notice the next reference in Acts chapter 3. Thank you for turning back. Acts chapter 3 and verse 14. But ye denied the Holy One and the just. And the just. Again, in the Old Testament, only God alone is the just one. Isaiah said in Isaiah 45 verse 21. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I, the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Saviour. There is none beside me. You see, He is the Holy One and He is the just One. He is God Himself. The word just means to be innocent. It means to be legally faultless. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was brought to the governor and judge, Pontius Pilate, do you remember what Pontius Pilate said of the Lord Jesus? I find no fault in Him. No fault. Why? Because He is the just one. And what did the Jews cry out in contrast?
Crucify Him.
Crucify Him. Because He declared Himself to be God. To the Jews it was blasphemy. To Pontius Pilate He was just. And the Bible tells us that instead a guilty murderer was set free and Christ was crucified. Notice in Acts chapter number 3. In verse 14, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Do you remember when Barabbas was lined up to be executed? The crowd cried out, no, crucify Christ. And Pilate wanted to let him go, wanted to let Christ go. Why? Because he found no fault in him. And what did they do? They asked Pontius Pilate to let a murderer go free, a guilty man go free. And they crucified the just one, the just one. What an amazing picture for us, the Bible gives us. A guilty criminal was set free, and an innocent one that is just and holy was crucified. Brethren, there's the picture of salvation, is there not?
Yeah.
A murderer was set free, and the Holy Son of God was crucified. That's what Jesus Christ did for our sins. He paid for our sins so we would not need to pay for them for all eternity in the lake of fire. He is the just one. He is the Holy One. Notice in the next verse. These are wonderful titles to describe Christ. Verse 15. And killed the Prince of Life. The Prince of Life. Now interestingly, this word Prince in the Bible is the same word as the title Author and Captain. Now we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Author of all life. John chapter 1 verse 1 tells us that all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He is the Author of all life, but also He is the Author of eternal life. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says He's the Captain of our salvation. The same word, Captain and Prince. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, say it with me, looking unto Jesus, the Author and Finisher of our faith. He is the Author of eternal life. He's the Finisher also. John 14 verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Notice the shocking contrast given to us in verse 14. They desired a murderer to be granted unto them. Notice verse 15. And killed the Prince of Life. They set free a taker of life and they crucified the giver of life. What an amazing message. What a convicting message. What a confronting message. Wow. Would I have liked to preach this message at the temple? Well, I sure would have needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the same with you. Is that right? And that's what you and I need to seek to be each day. Filled with the Spirit of God. Walking in the Spirit. Filled with His Word. Prayerful. Ready to meet the one in need of Christ, so we can tell them who God truly is. You know what happens when we're not prepared? When we're walking in the flesh, when we're just indulging in the appetites of the flesh, not dealing with our sins, not allowing God to give us the victory because we're entertaining wrong thoughts and we're watching wrong things and we've forgotten about the fact that we are crucified with Christ, We are dead to sin in Christ. Amen. Amen. So often we forget that the old man is dead, but we listen to the flesh. We listen to the flesh and give him the power that he wants in our lives. So often we don't walk in the Spirit. And then someone asks us about the Lord, or we have an opportunity, and we start to say all sorts of things. We start to talk about ourselves. We start to talk about different illustrations and maybe different stories. And we're not just clear in our mind and in our heart who Christ is. And we might start compromising on the gospel. That's not what Peter did. He didn't preach himself. He didn't preach his own story. All he said is that in verse number 15, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. That's all he said of himself. That's it. We are witnesses. He declared Jesus Christ. So let's be ready to witness, because it's going to be confrontational. Let's simply ask the Lord to cleanse us, to fill us. Let's simply trust in his power to use us for his glory. I hope you don't misunderstand that you need to become some sort of superhuman to be a witness for the Lord. The problem is, we are not witnesses because we don't yield ourselves to the Spirit as so often we yield ourselves to the flesh. Is that right? Yielding ourselves to the flesh. In the morning, just not reading the Word of God. When we know we should, and we should get into the Word to get rid of some of those dreams you had during the night, to be honest. Some of those filthy dreams that ruined your night's sleep. And I'm not going into the reason behind dreams tonight, but the reality is you get into the Word of God and you will cleanse your thoughts by the washing of the Word of God. Prepare your heart for the day and then pray and say, Lord, fill me and use me. Lord, help me. And you might say, well, Pastor, I've got so many sins in my life. Well, take them to the altar. Amen. The Bible says when Christ died on the cross, the veil was rent in twain, and we have full access, not into the outer court, not into the holy place, but into the very holy of holies. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, what do we take? We take our sins. And the Bible says, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, if we confess our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you know what we do? We stand in the outer court. We forget who we have in Christ. And we call out and we say, Lord, I can't be a witness for you. Lord, I'm so far off. And what does the Lord say? I want you to come. Come to me through the blood of Christ. If you're saved, then there's no reason why you shouldn't be a witness. If you're defeated tonight, let me encourage you. Let me encourage you to come to the Lord for cleansing. Let me encourage you to take your burden to the Lord. Amen. Let me encourage you to come into the very holy of holies, perhaps when you get home. And say, Lord, cleanse me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, fill me that I may be used by you this week. See, there's no way we can witness in the power of the flesh. And what we see in Peter's preaching is a Spirit-filled believer. And I tell you what, he was standing there with thousands of Jews around him who were there at the crucifixion, crying out, crucify him, crucify him. Peter could have been next. Would you agree?
Yeah.
But he was bold in the Spirit, declaring that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Life. And he built his case. He is the Holy One. He is the Son of God. He is the Just One. And then he built his case. And notice the conclusion here in Acts 3:16. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. See, the miracle was real. Would you agree? The miracle was confrontational. Two fishermen couldn't perform this miracle. That's for certain. These were ignorant and unlearned men. That's all they were. Now, Peter said, it's not by us. Then who could it have been by? Well, to accept the miracle forced these onlookers to accept the one who performed the miracle. They may not have wanted to accept Jesus Christ, but they would have had to come face to face with the reality of who was the power behind this miracle. Well, the verdict upon these hearers was that they had crucified Christ. The sentence, as they knew, was eternal separation from God. But, what Peter shares next is the gospel, that they can have eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. But in order to share the gospel, people need to understand who Christ is. People need to understand why he died, isn't that right? People need to understand what their sins really look like in the sight of God. And you and I have to be bold in sharing the truth of God's word. But then we need to be just as bold in sharing the answer, which is that Jesus Christ is the Savior. And that's what we see in the following verses. Christ the healer, Christ the Son of God, and then Christ the Savior from verses 17 onwards. Acts chapter 3 and verse 17. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. Do you know what we see in verse number 17? We see an amazing statement that Peter makes. That through ignorance ye did it. Wow. What does that tell us? Well, that tells us something wonderful about the grace of God. About the grace of God. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, do you remember the last words of Jesus Christ on the cross? Not the very last words, but some of the last words. What did he say to God the Father? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Beloved, it doesn't mean that they were not at fault, but they did not realize who they were crucifying, and they did not realize how great their guilt was. And Christ the Lord was willing to forgive them. There's the wonderful grace of Jesus, amen, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that is what we need to declare when we declare Christ as Savior. That God in His grace would sacrifice Himself to pardon wicked sinners like us, so that we may be brought back to God. There is the grace of Christ in verse 17. Notice the love of Christ in verse 18. But those things which God hath before hath showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. You see, Peter wasn't preaching anything new. All the prophets in the Old Testament spoke of Christ. He was simply declaring to them who Christ is. And the prophets had spoken of these things, had declared that Christ should suffer. He hath so fulfilled. Now we're going to jump a few verses and go to verse number 22. Because in verse 18, it's almost like a little parenthesis. Peter speaks about the prophets, and in verse 22, he continues on. In verse 22, he speaks of Moses. You see, Moses declared Jesus Christ. This is a reference to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 18 and verse 18. And in verse 22, he says, For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you, of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Peter said, Listen to the prophets. They spoke of that prophet, that holy one, that just one, that prince of life. He is the one that they all spoke about. Notice next in verse number 24. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. You see, Samuel foretold of Christ. David foretold of Christ in the Psalms. Wonderful prophetic statements. Psalms about the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah, as we know and has been reminded of tonight, spoke about the Lord Jesus Christ. Declared that he would be bruised for our iniquities. Declared that he would suffer for us. See, all of them declared the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse number 25. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying, Unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all kindreds of the earth be blessed. I wonder if the Jews really knew what this meant until Peter preached this. To Abraham, all kindreds of the earth shall be blessed. Suddenly the penny started to drop in some of these listeners' minds. Hang on a second. Abraham, from Abraham came the nation of Israel. From the nation of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ was born into the world, and through the Savior Jesus Christ, Eternal life is offered to the whole world. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, all kindreds of the earth will be blessed. And that's what the prophets foretold. That's what God had promised. And herein is the love of God. This isn't something new. God had in His heart planned from eternity past the remedy for mankind, the solution to the sin problem, and that the gospel would go out into the whole world. Describes to us the wonderful love of God, doesn't it? The love of God. And as we tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be careful not just to tell them about His grace, that the just one would die for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, but we also need to tell them about His wonderful love, about His love, that He died for all, that He paid by His blood for our sins. Peter's appeal went out to the Jews first and declared the love of God. So He hath fulfilled. Brethren, what a wonderful message we have to declare. And you might feel like you may be the first person to tell someone about the Lord in your workplace, but you are not the first person to tell someone about Christ in this world. Amen? We are simply messengers passing on the message. This is the gospel of God, as the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 1. Not just the gospel of Christ, the gospel of God that takes in history from the beginning of time to the end of time. That's what it means, the gospel of God. The old prophets preached the gospel. The apostles and God's people in the book of Acts preached the gospel. Those who came to Australia sacrificed to preach the gospel so that we could be saved. Now it's our turn to preach the gospel. Amen? To tell people about the grace of our Lord. To tell people about the love of our God. What a wonderful privilege we have. What a wonderful honor we have to serve the Lord. It is our eternal privilege to be like Peter of old, to tell the lost of Christ. Notice lastly, he calls them to repentance. Now, usually in a court, when the evidence is displayed, think about it with me, in a court scene, when the evidence is told forth, just like Peter did, when the sentence is guilty, normally the gavel will come down and that would be the verdict. Is that right? But Peter goes on to call them to repentance. He goes on to call them to salvation. See, that's the message we have to give. Yes, we are all guilty sinners, but Christ died for the ungodly. He died for the sinner. He died so that we may be forgiven, so that the justice upon our sins may be satisfied in His blood, and that we may be forgiven. Notice what he says about the forgiveness of our Saviour. Verse 19, if we jump back to verse 19, Peter says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted." Notice Peter calls them to repentance. Repentance. Let me say again, this is an important word. And it's not just for the Jews. Paul preached repentance. The word repent means to turn from sin and to turn to Christ. It means to stop going your own way and in your heart turn from unbelief and sin and put your faith in Christ as the Saviour from sin. Repent. Stop going your own way and turn to Christ for salvation. Amen. Now, the false teachers of this day would tell you tonight, keep going your way and take a little bit of Jesus with you. Just come as you are to the altar and ask Jesus into your heart and take Him with you. Come as you are and go as you are. And just add Jesus to your life. That's not what Peter preached, did he? He said, stop. Repent. You are guilty. You deserve God's judgment. The prophets have foretold of this. Conviction starts to build up in their heart. Friends, how can someone repent if the gospel is not clearly preached? That's why we need to be careful. That's why we need to not rush through the gospel. I dare say,
took a bit of time for Peter to preach this message. He had to have a willing audience. And so if someone doesn't want to listen, or if they don't agree that they are a sinner, let me encourage you to leave something with them and tell them, have a read of this and I'll come back another time. Don't rush them through the plan of salvation. Make sure you go step by step. Allow God to work in their hearts. Allow God to speak to them through the Word of God. God knows what He's doing. God's timing is perfect. But in order for someone to be saved, they must repent. They must have a condition of heart where they realize in sorrow they have sinned against the Holy One of God. And that is the One who died on the cross for their sins. Repent that your sins may be blotted out. And by the way, if you've ever heard this, I don't agree with it, that repentance just means turning from your unbelief. No, there's more than that. Peter said, repent that your what? Sins. It's our sins that are the problem. Unbelief includes our sins, is included within our sins. That's definitely within the scope of sin. But it's not just of unbelief, that we didn't believe in Christ and so we repent that, oh yeah, sorry Lord, I didn't believe in you yet. So Lord, now I do, and Lord, give me the best life that I can live and take away all my diseases and help me to be rich, Lord, so that I can show others that you are real. But I like to be rich too. And give and so forth. That's the false gospel. That's the prosperity gospel of today. But Peter's message was a call to repentance. To repentance. That your sins may be blotted out. So he called them to come to Christ for forgiveness through the door of repentance. And what is the result? That their sins may be blotted out. What a wonderful description of salvation, isn't it? Sins blotted out. Picture with me a piece of paper upon which all your sins have been recorded by God. The Bible tells us there is a book where our sins are written. And God takes into account every iniquity, every wicked thing, the book of Ecclesiastes tells us, will be brought into account by God at the great white judgment throne. But the Bible tells us that the moment you and I, if we repent of our sin and put our faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, instantaneously and immediately, just like the healing of this lame man, salvation is instantaneous. And the Bible tells us our sins in that book of iniquity are suddenly, eternally blotted out. That's not just wiped away. That means removed from existence as if they were never there. And that is how it will stay forever. Doesn't that make you want to tell someone about Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Because of the very fact that your sins have been blotted out. Have been blotted out. How long did you and I, before we became Christians, try to blot out our sins ourselves? We tried to wipe clean our sins by our good works. And all we ended up doing was to create a bigger smudge. Have you ever tried to do that with a letter? I try and correct it, but you made more of a mess than it was before, and you wish you would have left it, maybe put a line through it, or something like that. Teenagers, when you're writing an assignment, you go, oh, shouldn't have made that mess. That's what we do by our good works before we're saved. We're trying to blot out our own sins. We're trying to erase our own record. But it's only the precious blood of Jesus Christ, through repentance and faith, that our sins can be eternally blotted out. What a wonderful message of salvation. Notice verse 19 as we close. Thank you for your attention tonight. We're almost there. That your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That has to do with the next verse, verse 20. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. You see, the Bible tells us that there is a time of refreshing coming. And it will come from the presence of the Lord. And it will come, verse 20, when Jesus Christ will return in his visibly and bodily to establish his living kingdom upon the earth. And that is what Peter was preaching. You see, he was preaching to the Jews to repent as a nation. He was calling them to repentance. But we know that they did not. What happened next was persecution. And problems. They didn't all repent. So we know Christ does not come yet. We are in a period of grace where the gospel has gone out throughout the world. But one day, Jesus Christ will come again. And it will be a 1,000-year miracle. A 1,000-year time of refreshing. The earth will be refreshed. The world will be refreshed. And Christ will rule from His throne in Jerusalem in all His glory and power. That's the future for the believer. And what a wonderful future we have. But I believe for the Christian today, we also experience the time of refreshing within. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus said to the woman at the well? He said, "You've just come to draw water from this well. If you knew who you were talking to," the Lord said, "I would have given you living water." And He described eternal salvation as the refreshing of God. Water springing up into everlasting life. And that's what salvation is. The Bible tells us that God regenerates our spirit. The Holy Spirit regenerates our spirit. And He comes to dwell within us. And just like water springing up into everlasting life, we have peace with God. Amen? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. We have joy in the Holy Spirit. Unspeakable, Paul said. That was not there before. Let me ask you this evening. Have you experienced the times of refreshing as a result of your salvation? If you have, don't forget what you were before. Don't forget those times of woe and darkness and discouragement and hopelessness. We ought to be of all men most joyful, not miserable. If Christ is not risen, Paul said, we're of all men most miserable. So why are we miserable tonight? The times of refreshing have come from the presence of the Lord within. But we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. We need to allow Him to fill us. For the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. There's the filling of the Spirit. And he that winneth souls is wise. What is clogging up your life this evening? What is holding back the Spirit of God from refreshing and renewing you each day? To be renewed in the Spirit. To start each day afresh. Amen? And to walk with the Lord. And to end each day fresh in the Spirit. Allowing God to work through you. He will do that by His power. He will use you like Peter of old to be a witness. If you're willing. If you're willing, brethren. You see, Peter called them to forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And in verse 26 he concludes, "Unto you first, God, having raised up His Son Jesus, sent Him to bless you in turning away every one of you from His iniquities." Let me ask you this evening, have you been blessed?
Yes,
yes or no?
Yes.
Have you? If you are saved, then the answer must be yes. Have you been blessed by the Lord?
Amen?
Amen? Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Friends, we need to keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we walk with the Lord, that refreshing from the Holy Spirit becomes richer. You can say amen.
Amen.
Becomes deeper. Becomes more evident in your life and mine as we walk with Him. It doesn't mean we won't fail. It doesn't mean we won't sin. But the Spirit of God is within you to revive you and to use you, church family, to be a witness for Him.
Amen.
Just like Peter, to lead souls to Christ. Now, who believed this message when they felt, many would have felt like crucifying Peter because of what he said? Well, have a look with me in verse number 4 of chapter 4. "Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Just the men, 5,000. How many others were saved? We do not know. But what we do know is that we need to preach Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
That's whom we need to preach. That's whom we need to be witnesses of. Not ourselves, not our own story. Our testimony is good, but the gospel is the key to unlock the door.
Amen.
The Lord said to Peter, "You've got the key." He's the one that unlocked the door. Why? Because he preached the gospel at Pentecost. He preached the gospel and souls were saved. Let me encourage you to preach the gospel.
to declare Jesus Christ as Savior.